Hello. Today I'm going to talk about Abraham and Lot parting ways. A bit of a background. In Egypt, Pharaoh took Sarah for his wife. And Abraham was frantic and he didn't know what to do. And how that came about was because there was this famine in Canaan and they had to flee from the famine and they escaped to Egypt where there is rich food and water and fodder for the livestock. Abraham told a lie to Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister because he knew that if he told the truth that he was a husband, Pharaoh will probably kill Abraham and take Sarah for himself. And so with that lie being told, Pharaoh took Sarah for his wife. Thankfully, God intervened and restored Sarah back to Abraham. God sent, inflicted a disease on Pharaoh and his household. And Pharaoh knew that something was amiss. And he asked Abraham, why did he lie that Sarah was his sister? And so Pharaoh quickly restored Sarah back to Abraham and so that he could recover from the disease which God had inflicted him. And so the whole group of them, Abraham and his household, left Egypt and went back to Canaan. And then we read that Abraham became rich in Genesis 13:2. Let me read Genesis 13:2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And then Abraham called to God, Genesis 13:4. Let me read Genesis 13:4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham had a lot to thank God for, and he was quick to respond to God in thanksgiving. You would recall that Abraham went through a lot of difficulties. He had this journey from Haran all the way to Canaan, which was 640 kilometers. That would take many months on foot, exposed to weathering conditions, the heat, the cold at night. And finally, when he reached Canaan, he was confronted by the Canaanites. It was not a welcoming party, because the Canaanites viewed Abraham coming to take over or share the land that they have. So Abraham was not welcome. And Abraham had to look for land which is not possessed by the Canaanites. And after that, there was severe famine. And livestock died. There was severe disease. There was no food, no water. And Abraham had to leave Canaan to take refuge in Egypt, where there's still plenty. So in Egypt, we read that Pharaoh had ill design on Sarah and Sarah for his wife. And Abraham had to tell a lie that he was a brother. So in a way, Abraham is quite weak. Yeah, he, to save his own life, he told a lie and was willing to give Sarah to Pharaoh. So, and then God, notwithstanding Abraham's weakness, came and intervened and restored Sarah back to Abraham. Yeah, so Abraham would have remembered all these things and he called to God. So it's the same for us. The spiritual lesson here is that we give thanks to God when he has blessed you. When he has blessed me, he blessed all of us with very basic need that we have, good health and strength. And all God has to do is just remove good health and strength and we will be in a terrible shape. So give thanks to God when he has blessed you with good health and strength, when we have work, when we have a family, and we have good bosses, and many other things, right? So let me move on. And then in the Bible, we read next that there was a dispute between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Both Abraham and Lot had many livestock. The land was not able to accommodate both of them together and their livestock. Let me read to you Genesis 13, 6 to 7. Genesis 13, 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. So there was, we look in the picture here, big quarrel and fight between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen because they are running out of land to pasture their respective livestock. Water is also not plentiful. And so they start to quarrel and fight over the fodder and food and water. Abraham gave in to Lot. Abraham appealed to Lot that there be no quarrels. Abraham gave Lot the option for the best land. Lot took the plain of Jordan. Genesis 13, 8 to 11. And let me just read to you again what scripture has for us. Genesis 13, 8 to 11. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Okay, so you notice there was this conversation between Abraham and Lot due to the strife between the two herdsmen. And in that conversation, you know, you can find what Abraham desires and what Lot desires. And very clearly, Abraham desires peace and harmony, love among brethren, among the relatives and family members. And he was willing to give away the best option of the land to Lot. He told Lot, you choose the right, I go to the left. If you choose the left, I go to the right. He gave option of picking the land to Lot. And he was willing to take the second best. Yes? And what did Lot do? What was Lot's desire? Lot's desire was material gain. I pick the best. It's for my food, for my cattle, for my livestock. And why? So that there is material gain. If my cattle and livestock are well fed, they can be sold for well, good money, and I will have the material gain. Or if the milk is good for my livestock, the milk can be sold, I will have material gain. So Lot was thinking of material gain only in his mind when he chose the plain of Jordan. Yeah, what is in the plain of Jordan? Well-watered plain. If I read to you again, verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well-watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So if you look at this map of Canaan, you'll find that the plain of Jordan is right here, next to, just below the Dead Sea, next to the city of Sodom. This is where Lot pastured his livestock. And then you have Abraham's pasture near the city of Hebron, which is not as good a land as Lot's pastures. So Lot was looking at this plain of Jordan, which is next to Sodom, where there is well-watered plains. His cattle will have good food and good pasture, good water. And next to the plain is Sodom, where you have city dwellers. And city dwellers are people who can afford to buy things from the farmers, from the shepherds. So again, Lot was looking to make trade with the people of Sodom, that he could sell all his livestock and life and produce to the people of Sodom and again make gain. And so that was the reason why he chose the plain of Jordan, which is next to Sodom. And I want to show you a video now on the events between the herd, the quarrel between the two herdsmen, the two sets of herdsmen, and how Abraham reacted and how Lot reacted. Pay attention to the part where Abraham reacted out of love and affection towards Lot in giving him the first option of the land. And you look at Lot, what was his reaction? What does he desire? It was about material gains. So pay attention to the movie. Again, viewers are cautioned of the inaccurate parts of the video. Naturally, the conversation will all be made up by the movie makers. The very words spoken are not those in the movie. Even some of the parts are not taken in the land of Canaan. So be cautious when you view the movie. Zoom in on the relationship between uncle and nephew, Abraham, Lot. How do they react to each other in due to this conflict? What do they want? So I'll just move on to the movie now.
What have you done? You have killed him.
Lot's men won't let us water our herds here.
Have you lost your minds? We are one family. The water is for all of us.
I am ashamed of you. All of you. And I hope that you are ashamed of yourselves. Asaru.
Lot's men.
Violence will not solve problems. Now the pastures beyond that river are overgrazed and turning brown. If we do not leave enough grass, the spring rains will wash away the soil.
Then I must move my herds.
Move your herds?
Uncle, I prefer to keep what's yours and what's mine apart. If they're mixed, it makes the counting more difficult.
Counting? Oh, yes, of course. The counting is important.
There isn't enough water here for all our herds. This part of the land is too small for both of us.
With respect, Lot, by dividing our people, we grow weaker.
Well, of course you are free to choose. If you wish to go to the right, I will go to the left. If you choose the left, I will go to the right.
Beyond that hill, there are green pastures along a river called the Jordan. And there are cities. I can go there to trade wool and skins.
But those merchants come here to trade with us.
Yes, and they pay us less. Whereas if I make the journey to them, then I can get a better price.
Price?
A better price? Oh, yes. Of course. Price is important. Well, so be it, Eve. Go then. I will miss you. I hope it brings you what you want. But be cautious. I have seen many cities, some better, some worse. In none, however, have I felt a sense of fulfillment. So keep your people outside the gates.
Thank you, Uncle.
Gather the herds, we're going!
Other son. But he's like my own. May God protect him.
So you saw the movie and you saw how Abraham reacted and how Lot reacted. And I want you to take a while to consider their reactions. And I would like to suggest to you that Abraham's reaction was out of love, love for Lot. You read in scripture, what was his first reaction when he said about the conflict? Abraham said unto Lot, 13:8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. That was the first thing he said to Lot. Let there be no quarrel, no argument, no fight. I pray thee, I appeal to thee, between me, between I and you, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. Why? We are relatives, we are brethren. So it is the love for family, yeah, that appeals to Abraham the most. And Abraham being the uncle, he's the elder. Lot is the nephew. Uncle has a right of first choice as the elder. He could have told Lot, now hear me, Lot, you are my nephew, my junior. I am your uncle. As the uncle, I have the first right, and my choice is the plain of Jordan, because it is well watered, it is rich, and it is near the city of Sodom. I have the right to the best land. You, junior to me, you can go to other places. That is Abraham's right, but he didn't choose that. Instead, he said, let there be no strife because we are relatives. I'm willing to give in to you. You want to go to the right, I go to the left. You want to go to the left, I go to the right. Please, let there be no quarrel between us. So it is his love for Lot that comes up in a conflict situation. Okay. And also, I would like you to consider his love for the people of Sodom. If you say that, oh, Abraham is just showing because it's family, you know, he loves his family. But you read about the event between Abraham and God, the conversation between the two of them when God was about to destroy Sodom for their wickedness. Abraham said, if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, would you destroy the righteous 50 as well as the rest of the wicked in Sodom? God said, if there are 50, he will not destroy. So meaning that there are no 50 people, no 50 righteous people in Sodom. So then Abraham went on downwards. If there are 45, God, would you destroy Sodom, the 45 righteous people and the rest wicked people? Would you destroy all of them together? And God said, if there are 45, he will not destroy Sodom. And he went down until if there are 10, God, would you still destroy Sodom? And God said, there are no 10 righteous people there either. And so it ended there. So the point that I want to raise here is that why would Abraham be so anxious to save Sodom? We all know Sodom is a wicked city. People engage in hideous, sinful, sexual, pervert acts. Yeah. And so why is Abraham so anxious to save the people of Sodom? They deserve to die. They deserve to be punished by God for their wickedness, for their evil. But Abraham was willing to appeal to God to save Sodom. So it is the love for people, the love for common people that Abraham has for Lot as well as other people. So, and because of his love, he's willing to give up material gains. He said to Lot, you know, you decide which land you want. You want the land on the right? Better for you? Richer? More fodder? More water? I will go to the left. If you want the land on the left, I will go to the right. So in his mind, it was not about material gains. It was about loving people, loving his family members. So I'd like to also share with you my little experience with my uncle. I have an uncle who's like Abraham. Yeah. And he's 85 years old this year, getting on in age. And I want to pay him a visit. And I said, Uncle, I'm coming to pay you a visit. And he lives very far away in a remote part. So my journey there would be about an hour or so. I haven't got a car, so I take public transport, and usually the journey is about 1 hour. The last time I went there, it took me 1 hour through the underground and in the final part by taxi. This time, he says, no, don't come. You know, I will meet you somewhere near your place for dinner. And so that's what we did. His daughter has a car, and they drove all the way from some remote part where they stay, all the way to near where I live, and we had dinner together. Why does he have to do that? He's the uncle, he's the elder. It is right for me to spend time or effort, 1 hour journey to visit him. And he's old in age. And he would expect that being old, he has a right not to move about so much, yeah, to take care of its own health. But no, yeah, he thought of me and said, look, I will take 1 hour to his place. So he was willing to come all the way to meet me near my place. Love of an uncle for his nephew. And he is, in many ways, shows a lot of love for his people. Very generous, very kind, and wherever he so-called blanja family and relatives, he does it on the quiet. You know, he just pays for the bill and that's it, you know. And we all know that he is a loving member of the family. So I remember people like this. And so will you. Remember, kind people who will go out of the way to show kindness and care for you. So now let's all move on to Lot. What is Lot's choice? The plain of Jordan. Material considerations. It is a well-watered plain, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. You read in Genesis 13:10. To Lot, the well-watered plain is so important because they live in an agricultural society. They must have good fodder, good grass for their cattle, livestock, sheep, goat. and other animals, and they need their animals for trade, for milk. And so it is very important. It starts with a well-watered plain. Yeah. With a well-watered plain, you can have good profit. And further, you saw the map earlier on. It was next to Sodom. So after you feed all your animals in here, in the plain of Jordan, it's just next to the plain where you can sell your produce, your animals, the milk, and the hide to the people of Sodom for profit. So business-wise, it is all well thought out by Lot. He made no mistakes in his business consideration. It was all very well thought out. Yeah. So that was Lot's idea. And what I would like you to think about is that he never thought about Abraham, his uncle. He never thought how he could be kind to the uncle who was so generous in giving him the plain of Jordan. The uncle has the right to take over the plain of Jordan, but he just gave it to the nephew, you know, in a matter of a few words. He never said, "Uncle, I can share the plain of Jordan with you." The plain of Jordan can be divided into two parts. Uncle, you take one part, I take the other. Although I may have less because I'm sharing the plain of Jordan with you, but never mind. We are family and we can share our benefits together. That never came to Lot's mind. It was all for himself, in himself only. Yeah. And so that shows that he has no love for his uncle or for fellow men. Yeah? And subsequently, you notice that when he went to Sodom, or initially he was pitching his tent outside Sodom, but subsequently he entered Sodom. And then Lot became a changed man, became carnal. Yeah. Then you can read for yourself in Genesis 19:8, where you recall three angels came to Sodom and Lot entertained them in their house. And the people of Sodom, being the wicked and sexually wicked, they wanted to have carnal knowledge with the angels. And Lot says, "No, don't. They are my guests. But you can have my daughter and you can do anything you want to my daughter." That is totally unbecoming and unthinkable of a father. Who, as a father, would give their daughter to strangers for the strangers to have sex with their daughters, with the father's daughters? It's totally unthinkable. But that is what became of Lot when he subscribed to Sodom's influence. So that is what is a well-taught lesson to us too, that if we are subjected to many of the wicked and evil influence of friends, we can be influenced by them. So let me move on. The spiritual lesson. The spiritual lesson here is Christian love. Abraham has love for Lot and common people. Love for Lot because he gave Lot the first choice of the land. But to his own detriment, because he knows that Lot goes for the better land. He is not, his land will be not so good. Yeah, and he will suffer. Yeah. But that was not in his mind. What was in his mind that he wants to show love to Lot? He loves Lot. And he was willing to forego his business benefits. Yeah. He was even willing to speak on behalf of the people of Sodom. Amazing. I mean, when you think of the people of Sodom, they are the wicked and evil and selfish and sexually immoral people. But yet, Abraham spoke to God and persuaded God not to destroy Sodom. And there's no reason for him to do so, because we all know that people of Sodom deserve to be destroyed because of their absolute wicked and evil ways. And even God was going to punish them with destruction. But yet, Abraham has love for these people. So in the same way, as Christian, we should also show love for others. Family, relatives who are junior to us, at workplace, our colleagues. We have neighbors, we have friends, workers, and cleaners, etc. And I would like to relate an incident to you about my own experience with colleagues. Many years ago, I was working in a company, and as you know, in the private sector, it can be very punishing in terms of workload and deadline. So I was under a lot of pressure, and a colleague came into my room, an elderly colleague, 60s. We were talking about decades ago. And he started to have a conversation, social conversation with me, talking about various harmless things and engaged in social conversation. I was quite frustrated, because here am I, stressed with work, deadline to keep, and a lot of things got to finish by a certain deadline. And here he is, you know, going on and on with his unimportant conversation. So I sort of brushed him off and said, "Can you stop and leave? Can't you see I'm so busy now? I have no time to talk to you." And he was taken aback with my reaction towards him. He showed that he was not very happy, and he left. So I carried on with my work, thinking, at last I've got rid of someone who has nothing better to do than go around disturbing other colleagues. A few days later, he passed on. Mind you, he passed on. And the only thing that I can remember was my rude attitude towards him. I didn't even have a chance to ask forgiveness for my rudeness to him. I didn't have a chance to apologize. He just passed on. I visited his wake. He was a Christian brother. And I didn't even know. I was very sad. And that thought remained with me all these years. It is what showed out clearly was my lack of love. I was like Lot. What is important are the material things. Finish my work, you know, do well for my work, hand it up, submit, end of chapter for my work, material. Those are the material things which are important in the world. And so it is. But it can come back to haunt us if we forgot the more important things, like love for your colleagues, love for family and relatives, love for friends and workers and cleaners. I talk about workers and cleaners because as the underprivileged, more is expected out of Christian love to them. Yeah? And there are no lack of Bible verses to show that we must show love to those who are underprivileged, to those who do not have raiment to wear, who are weak, who are impoverished, who have no food and no water. Many Bible verses to show that we have to show love towards people like this. And in the same breath, I would also like to share with you what is my experience with bosses who are harsh and unreasonable. I have worked for many years. I would not be shy to tell you I am in my 60s, about to retire. So I've been through many employers, many bosses. And what strikes me as bosses who are harsh and unreasonable remains in my mind. Not that I don't forgive them. Yeah, as Christians, we know that we have to forgive people who have wronged us. And so it is that I've forgiven them. But the mind is a very strange organ. It doesn't forget unusual happening. Yeah. Like, for example, when I was young, my father came to me. Of course, I was naughty. And my father has the right to cane me because I was behaving badly as a little boy. So, not that I don't forgive my father for caning me, but it remains in my mind that I was caned by my father. So it is the same, you know. You will also remember instances where your father caned you, or some colleagues or some friends reacted harshly and rudely or unreasonably towards you. You remember. But of course, in the Bible, we forgive. But we remember. And that is the legacy. Those who show harshness and rudeness and unreasonable towards their staff and colleagues, they will be remembered as being rude, harsh, unreasonable. Is that what we want to leave behind in our legacy? That we are harsh, we are unreasonable and uncaring, unfeeling towards our friends and colleagues, our family and relatives? No. So remember, the hallmark of Christianity is love. And that's why it is so important to show love as Christian love. It is a testimony of our faith that we have love for one another. And so it is when we look at Abraham, we see love in Abraham's conversation and in his conduct. He showed love towards Lot. He showed love towards the people of Sodom. That is in keeping with Christian love. So, do not be like Lot in making decisions based on material consideration only. Spiritual consideration is most important when making decisions. My emphasis here is material consideration only. And naturally, when you make decisions in a company, in your workplace, cost is important. Yeah. Cost and also price. We live in a world that survives on profit, and there is nothing wrong making good business. Yeah, Abraham was a rich man, and he became rich because he had lots of cattle and sheep, and he traded in them, buy and sell his sheep, sell his goats and cattle, and he makes profit. So there's nothing wrong with that. But you look at Lot. He made his decision based on material consideration only. That is where he stands out different from Abraham. And you read nowhere else in the Bible after Lot departed from Abraham. Do you see Lot showing kindness, consideration, love towards Abraham and his family? Nowhere. He just went on his way, do his own, just focus on his material gains. As Christians, we all know that spiritual consideration is the most important in making decisions. I'm not saying that we should not make decisions based on material consideration. It is one of many considerations. Gains, profit, costs, revenue, price are part of the considerations. But it is not the only consideration. Spiritual consideration is also important when we make decisions. You go to a new employment, pay is good, it is better than my previous job's pay. The role is a promotion. I'm now promoted to a manager, and so on and so forth, the material consideration. And you make the decisions to go there. How do you know whether your boss will be kind to you or affection or show kindly affection towards you? How do you know whether your staff will be cooperative with you in the work? How do you know whether your colleagues will be helpful to you? You don't. Only way is to pray to God for all these considerations, that it will go your way, and wait for God's decision, whether it is the right decision to go. Notwithstanding higher pay, higher promotion, the material part. I know of cases where higher pay was offered and blah, blah, blah to somebody else. And that somebody else didn't turn up for the new appointment after he has agreed to take the offer. Why? Because he heard that the boss is a very unreasonable, harsh boss. He reversed his decision. Yes. One must not make your decision based on material consideration only. For us as Christians, spiritual consideration is the most important. Yeah, when making decisions. So I want to ask a couple of questions for your reflection, and that you have to answer it honestly to yourself. Are you a Lot or an Abraham? I don't have to go into what is a Lot or what is an Abraham. I have already spoken a lot about it. If you are a Lot, what would you do to change? If you are a Lot, what would you do to change? So with that, I come to the end of my lesson. I pray that we all learn spiritual lessons from this episode in Abraham and Lot's parting. And that is what is important to us, because it is written in the Bible. It is for us to learn and not only learn, but also apply in our life, that we will be acceptable in God's sight, in our behavior, in our conversation, in our attitude, in our love for one another as brethren in Christ. So I will end in a word of prayer. Let us pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this important lesson of love, of in the opposite of focusing on material gains. Lord, we know that for us as Christians, love is a hallmark of the faith. And we must love one another at the cost of material gains. Let us not be like Lot, where we focus only on material things, for that is not pleasing to Thee. Let us be like Abraham, to love one another, to show care for one another, and that will be pleasing to Thee. So, loving Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, for many a times we have not been loving or caring. Many a times we have been like Lot in making decisions based on material gains only. And yet, many a times we have fallen and gone into trouble because we made the wrong decisions. And yet you are so loving that Thou delivered us from all our troubles, despite our bad behavior, our lack of love, our greed for material gains. Thou hast not left us in the wilderness in trouble, but Thou hast delivered us. So teach us, Lord, to confess our sins of our waywardness, of our greed, covetousness, and that you will restore us back to your love and fellowship with you. So we pray and ask all thy goodness and thy loving kindness and thy forgiveness to us. We pray in Christ's precious, most wonderful name. Amen. Okay, I'll stop here. Goodbye.